Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter tonight. And we'll have prayer and then we'll dive into these verses this evening. Beginning in verse number 1, says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, and as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious, wondrous word. I ask you tonight to cause us to have understanding of it. Cause it, O God, to go deep within our soul, to do the work that you intend for it to do. Spirit of God, move upon our hearts tonight. We pray for those who may be lost, that not only will the testimony of these two ring in their ears and their hearts, but Spirit of God, that you might bring that Holy Ghost conviction upon their soul. We pray for those in this room who know you as their Savior, who are assured if they die, they go to heaven. Oh God, how we need to grow in you. I pray that you would tonight feed our soul. And Lord Jesus, above all else, that through it you would be glorified, for we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When we come to chapter number 10, we find that in the very first four verses that Moses and the children of Israel had had some tremendous victories. And he reminds us of those. He reminds us particularly of the crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, can you imagine? As Moses raised that rod and the winds blew and the sea began to depart from one side to the other, and as it parted, the land appeared, and not only was it just land, it was dry ground upon which now they could trod and go to the other side. We're not talking about a little dinky path that they took one at a time. We're talking about something that allowed over 2 million people to go across in a very reasonable amount of time. We're talking about a pretty good length or width of area that God parted for them that night. And we find that God blessed them wonderfully. And they had victory over their foe, the people of Pharaoh, and all of his armies. It says in verse number 4, they did all drink that same spiritual drink, perhaps referring to the fact that God had fed them and God had given them the water they needed. But moreover, in reference to the spiritual rock that followed them, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there for them in all that which they had. Victories are always sweet when the battle has been especially difficult. If you've ever been an athlete and been involved in some sort of games, whether it be an individual sport like wrestling or a team sport like baseball or basketball or football, you know tonight that the harder the foe is that you face, the sweeter the victory is when it comes to you. And we find that there was an admirable fool in the people of Egypt and in Pharaoh, their leader. And yet God had given them a wonderful, wonderful victory over it. There are many songs of victory in the Bible, and one of those is the song of Moses and the deliverance that God had given them that day. But we also need to understand something from our text tonight, and that is, though there was tremendous victory, there is danger in victory. I want you to notice verse number 5. In verse number 5 it says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were what? Overthrown in the wilderness." There was victory, but we also find that defeat came. There is danger that is in victory. We ought to learn from history. We ought to look back and understand that though we have victories, we need to be very cautious, for the foe is still there. Notice something we find in verse number 6. He says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." He is saying to us here, we ought to learn from these people. We ought to understand that though God does things in our lives and we have victories in our lives, we need to understand that there is danger in victories. We find in verse number 7 that idolatry came into the lives of these people. Matter of fact, as you look at the idolatry and look at what says here in verse number 7, it seems to be that this idolatry was of self-indulgence. Americans are very good at self-indulgence. We as Americans are very much into pleasing ourselves. We are the Burger King society. Have it your own way. And we are people who oftentimes have this kind of idolatry in our lives. In verse number 8, he says, "Neither let us commit fornication." And then he explains that, "as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. This is referring particularly to the time that God had blessed, as Balaam had come and sought to bring curse upon them for the Moabites. God did not allow that curse, but God put in the mouth of Balaam blessings upon Israel, and victory was theirs, though they knew not of some of that. Yet we find that Balaam counseled those people, and we find that there was this matter of these folks being in mixed company one with another. And we find that great problems arose as a result of that. Fornication of mixed company, going to idolatry of self-indulgence. But notice verse 9 and 10 as well. He says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of servants." And then he really, I think, explains that in verse 10. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." And we find not only did these people go into idolatry, not only do we find the fornication, but we find that they were complainers. They complained about this, that, and the other thing. They complained they didn't have but manna to eat. They complained, though God supplied it. They complained they didn't have water to drink, though God supplied it over and over. They complained about the leadership of Moses. Though we look back, he was probably the greatest leader of all time. And here we find, as a result of their complaining, many of them were destroyed. We ought to learn from history, but we do not. He says in verse number 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." God has told us about these people. God has rehearsed that to us in these verses. And you and I ought to stop and consider, what is it that God wants us to learn from these people, these folks we call the children of Israel. Now, what should we learn from them? What is it that we ought to get? They were there for our ensamples. Let's go on to verse 12, 13, and 14. For I believe in these three verses, we can find some of what God wants you and I to learn. Notice verse number 12. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let me explain to you, if you've never heard it before, temptations always follow victories. When we think we are strong, we are weak. The Bible says, when we are weak, then are we strong. But oftentimes, you and I, as we've come through victories, we are tempted during or afterwards to slack off. Let's go back to Israel once again. One of the great victories in the land as they come across the Jordan River is to go up to the walls of Jericho. Can you imagine marching around the city once every day for 6 days and just as silent as can be? Can you imagine what the thoughts of the people are on the inside after we read about what the spies said concerning those folks and how scared they were of these people who had crossed over the Jordan River and how God had parted that for them? And on the seventh day, they march around that city seven times. And as they come to that last time, 13 times if you please, we find that a shout is made. And when that shout is made, the walls fall down. I am told from excavation, they believe that the walls of Jericho did not implode, but they exploded. To let us know that it was God who did it. For if it was the Israelites going up to the walls to knock them down, they would have imploded. But they came out the other direction. And the people of Israel were able to climb up into the city and have victory over them. What tremendous time that was. And yet we find, only a few days later, they go to a city of Ai. It's a small town. It's smaller than the city or town, if you please, of Glenwood. It's much like several small towns scattered out throughout southwest Iowa. And we find that they go to the little city of Ai and they say, well, let's just not all go up there and get ourselves all bothered with this thing. We'll just send a few up. After all, look what happened back here. And we find that they were defeated royally as a result of that kind of thinking. Of course, there was other things involved. But they were tempted to slack off at Ai. And you and I need to understand tonight, temptations follow great victories. Many times, as we've seen good things happen, then we also find the devil is right there seeking to destroy. I remember many years ago, I was so excited. It was an Easter Sunday morning and walked into church. The place was packed. And I thought, praise the Lord. I was so excited, and God gave message. God gave some wonderful things that morning. And I came back Sunday night just expecting a tremendous blessing. And there was about 20 people here. I don't know where you folks are all at, but you all took off. And there just weren't very many here. I want to tell you something. I felt such defeat. Was not expecting that kind of letdown, if you so please. But temptations always follow victories. Many times we are tempted to complain about the difficulties of the work now that's before us. You know, I've seen people be so excited about getting a new job, and they got their job, they're there for a year or two, and now they're not excited about the job, but they're complaining about the boss and how stupid he is. By the way, that's how he got to be your boss, is because he's so stupid. And we kind of do that, do we not? I think about Peter, how God had worked in his life. Peter had, denied his Lord three times. The Lord comes back and he speaks to Peter three times and tells him that he wants him to feed his sheep. But you know what Peter does? He says, what about him? He was referring to John. And so often we're tempted to complain about what we have to do, or sometimes we're complaining about how others are even doing it or have done it and so forth. We need to understand temptations follow many times victories in our lives. We are tempted to let someone else many times to continue the work and not do it ourselves. We think that we have arrived. The temptation is there. He says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Notice verse number 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." But notice these words, "but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Did you notice God doesn't take us out of the temptation? God gives us the ability to go through the temptation. But oftentimes, when you and I look back at what God has done, and we can look and see that God has taken us through, and that God has given us a victory, that victory can initiate in our hearts and minds even more victories. When you see that God has been faithful and that God did take you through, now you can look at what you're facing and realize, hey, God did it for me there. God can do it again for me here. And one victory can bring us yet another one because we have that kind of encouragement. When you and I seek the Lord in prayer and we've never had a prayer answered, we might be discouraged. But when we pray and we have a prayer answered, it's an encouragement to come back to God and ask God again for something even greater. And ask God to do that which only He can do. Temptation always follows victories, but also remember that victories can initiate more victories. We need to be very cautious and at the same time allow God to use those things to make us better individuals. But notice lastly in verse number 14, he says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Flee from idolatry. Idolatry is simply worshiping anything but God. It's putting our worship somewhere else. It's interesting that after all the wonderful verses in 1 John, that we find that it ends up speaking of how we ought to be careful not to, what? Bring praise or honor unto idols. I say to you tonight as well, what does God want us to learn from these people? Well, God wants us to learn that temptations always follow victories. But God also wants us to understand when we have a victory, it can be that which gives us encouragement and initiates even more victories in our lives. But thirdly, as we look at verse number 14, we need to be very careful whom we give the honor to when we've had a victory. We need to be very careful whom we worship as a result of those victories. Make sure that we give God all of the credit. I remember many years ago, Bill got up and testified a while ago. His mama, now in heaven, on different occasions would call me up. She'd be sick. And she just happened to believe James, where it talks about call the elders and let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will bring about healing. And first time she called, I even stopped the drugstore. I didn't even know what kind of oil to get. I wasn't sure I was supposed to get 10 weight, 20 weight, or 30 weight. But I got to thinking, you know, in Israel, they probably used olive oil. And so I stopped and I got a little bottle of olive oil. I believe is what I got. And when I got to her house, she already had a bottle. And so I just tucked mine away because, well, whatever. And I didn't know what this was all about, and she'd asked me to come. And so I took a little bit of that oil and put it on my fingers. I believe there's some other application of this, and so don't take me real, take it serious, but still at the same time, I believe it's talking about some medicinal things that you and I can do. But I took that oil, and I didn't know what to do. I daubed a little bit on my fingers, and I rubbed it on her forehead. You know, I didn't know where to put it. Sounded like a good spot. And talks about anointing the head with oil. And so I just rubbed on her head, and And I prayed. And I asked God to bring her healing. And honest to goodness, she was really sick. And she'd been thrown up. And quite honestly, I didn't want to be there because I didn't want to catch what she had. But I went and I'd talked to her previously. I knew she very much believed in that. And by the way, I believe that God heals. And I believe we ought to seek Him before we seek the doctor. And that was her procedure. She would go to doctors. And I prayed and we talked for a few moments. And pretty soon she looked at me and says, "Oh, I feel pretty good now." I thought, "Oh, you must be joking me." And she got up and went in the kitchen and wanted to know if I wanted something to drink and started bouncing around and so forth. And this came to her. This happened on, oh, I don't know how many occasions, but there were several times that she called me over. And there was one time I said, "Miss Mallory, I'm going to pray for you, but you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the hospital." She says, "No, God's going to heal me. I don't need to go there." And she said, I'll know when God wants me to go there." And I argued with her for a little while. And she won the argument. And she was good before I left. She walked into church one night. And she said this. No, I'll take that back. She called me one night. And I'd just been there a few days previous, and she asked me to come over. She says, "I'm not doing well." And she said this to me. She says, "I did not give God the glory when He healed me last time. And I need to do that." And she believed that she was sick again because of that. What I'm trying to say with that little story is, when God does things in our lives, we need to recognize it's Him. Too often we look at things and we'd ask God for it, or we'd gone through some things and here's what we do. I've done this over and over again. I've thought, "Hey, I figured this thing out." Well, it was really God who gave me the figuring out ability or whatever. And God took me through. The longer I live and the more I look back, the more I recognize that. How God takes us through those things. And so many times in my life, I've not given Him the praise for what He's done. What's He telling us in this verse? I believe He's trying to be very clear to us that we need to flee from idolatry. Because far too often, we don't give Him the glory for what He has done. And we allow that glory to even come upon ourselves. And how shameful that is. We can stand the pulpit. I've done this. You can preach a message and some hearts get blessed. And folks come and they will say nice things to you and so forth. And pretty soon you get to think, "I did a pretty good job." And we give God not the glory. He's the one that speaks to hearts. All I can do is tell truth. All I can do is speak what is in His Word and what God lays in my heart. But it's He who must do that kind of work. And so sometimes we get into the braggadocious spot. Who are we bragging about? Not the Lord, but ourselves. What have we done? We've entered into idolatry. Oh, how we need to always give Him the praise. Amen. How we need to give Him the honor. For He is the one for whatever good takes place that is the author of it. He's the one. The world may look and they may say, "Oh, it's coincidence." And sometimes we might look and think, "I did it. I've done it so many times." But ultimately we need to come to the recognition God is the author of all that's good. And give Him the glory and give Him the praise. How we need to do that. Bill gave his testimony tonight, and I'm sitting here and I must confess, I thought, "Boy, I was in the right place at the right time." God's the one who did the work in his life. And that was sinful. That's idolatrous. how we need to give God the glory. Amen. What do we learn from these Israelites? Well, we learn that we may have some victories, but temptations are going to follow. Because we have a victory does not mean that the devil's done. He departed from Jesus, remember this, after the three great temptations, it says, for a season. He tried again over and over. Temptations always follow victories. Sometimes the easiest time to fall is after wondrous victories. Also remember, victories, however, can give us encouragement for more. When we've had God do something and we recognize it, it gives us encouragement. Hey, He did it there. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Be very careful that we give Him the praise. Give Him the worship. Give Him the honor for it. Give Him the credit. Not we ourselves. Father, tonight, work in our hearts in these matters. Lord Jesus, help us to learn from these Israelites. Help us to learn, even though You give us victories, there are dangers that follow. Oh God, we might keep our eyes upon You, allowing You to bring us into more victory. Lord, that we might continue to give You the praise. Lord God, though we've spoken tonight to Christians, perhaps there's one here that's not saved. You know their heart. You know all of our hearts. Oh, Spirit of God, I pray that You might prick that heart. Help them to realize that without Christ, there's an eternity in hell that awaits them, separated from You and all that's good because of our sin. Lord, our sin is so deplorable that only You could pay the price for it. For that price is death, and You're the only one that could die for us. And we thank You that You did. God, I pray that You impress upon any of those hearts. Lord God, tonight, I pray that You just help us in the matter of our lives to not allow victories to bring us where we let our guard down. But today I bring us to even more. And we might give You praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.